Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is a very special one because it is all about our friends at Tye.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun, and it's old home week in some respects because we have a gentleman a little bit later in the program we're going to visit with, Sidney Slover, with Learn It Live. He's been in before, and I want to get caught up with him. And I remember you being very enamored with the way he was approaching this whole business of learning. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio, Tye Special today, we have with us from Baker Donaldson, Mr. Mark Carlson. How you doing, man?
I'm doing just great today. Thank you for having me.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Baker & Donaldson, a law firm, but we're going to reserve judgment. We're not going to hold you against that against you, right?
I appreciate it.
So what kind of lawyering do you do, man?
I am an M&A lawyer. I work a lot with startup companies. I focus on companies in the mobile space. We have a lot of clients in the financial services space, in biotech, but I work a lot with companies in wireless and in manufacturing. I like to work with smaller companies, but hopefully they become bigger companies over time.
Smaller companies with bigger accounts.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
So how's that work for you? Have you been able to grow or been with companies as they've expanded and grown?
I have. I actually was in Silicon Valley and in a law firm as well as in a startup in the late 90s, early 2000s, so I got to enjoy the ups and downs of that ride. But I've been able to work with startup companies, help them get work with businesses and help them grow, deal with the issues of employment and space, but also dealing with their own intellectual property and how to leverage what they've done into growing into something bigger.
Now, can you share a little bit about what it's like to be in Silicon Valley, what kind of environment that is?
Well, it's amazing just from the sheer talent, talent pool and the people there, what they do, what they're focused on. But it's really the energy and the fearlessness from an entrepreneurial sense that makes it so electric. People are willing to dive off the high board and see what happens.
Now, did you enjoy being there?
I did. It was great. I mean, San Francisco is a fantastic town. I was watching football yesterday, and the Packers and the 49ers were playing. I was a little reminiscing a little bit about being out there. We love Atlanta. My family and I are delighted to be here, but we've lived in Seattle and San Francisco and Boston, so we've been in some great places.
So how does Atlanta compare to those other? I mean, I know Atlanta aspires to be a technology hub, and we're trying our best to grow this. How are you seeing how we compare to the, I mean, you've been in most of the top tier technology and startup environments.
I think Atlanta has an unbelievable pool of resources from the corporate standpoint, from the intellectual standpoint, from all the universities that come out. One of the things that I've said to friends and colleagues is that as difficult as the recession has been for lots and lots of people, one of the interesting things to me that happened to Atlanta is that because of the real estate bust and some of the issues that we dealt with on the commercial side especially, I think Atlanta has decided to reallocate some of its resources away from real estate into some interesting things on the startup side and entrepreneurial areas, and I think that's going to really have a good impact over the next few years because there's so many great opportunities here that come out of the corporate and the startup community.
So tell us a little bit about the relationship with Tye, Baker Donaldson and Tye.
I started to get to know Tye probably 2 or 3 years ago, came out to TyCon last spring, so spring of 2012, and after that we just were amazed at the group of people, mostly amazed at the passion for supporting the entrepreneur, sort of the whole life of the entrepreneur. That was what we liked most about Tye. So we became a sponsor late last year and really have dived in this year. We've hosted events. They worked with SAP on a two-day program for software engineers and entrepreneurs looking to use a new SAP platform. We hosted that event, and we have a large room in our firm that we use for events like that. We hosted that event. I came in a couple times. A couple other lawyers in our firm popped their head in, but it really wasn't for us. It was for the entrepreneurs and SAP and Tye to support the folks. So we do things like that. We go to the pitch events on a regular basis. We go to other events of theirs. We try to meet with I forget the exact lingo. I apologize, but their main members, their charter members. I work with their charter members. I've worked with startups that they've had to pitch to their events. So it's been a lot of different things, but we've really tried to work on it from the standpoint of similar to the Thai ethos, which is that you contribute and then things come on the back end. And we've really tried to give to them, help support what they're doing, and help support the companies and entrepreneurs that they work with.
Now, you guys are probably asked to sponsor every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's involved with any type of business association. I know we approach you, so that proves my
point. Right, exactly.
And so Ty, I mean, we work with them as well, and we work with a lot of business associations. Ty is a little different, and I feel in some ways that they don't do the people don't know about them. And they do such a great job in so many different areas.
They do operate under some of the bigger radar. We sponsor Venture Atlanta. We sponsor Startup Lounge, MIT Venture Forum, MIT Enterprise Forum, excuse me. But then there are several others that we sponsor as well. The thing that's most interesting about Thai is the deliberate approach with which they take the sponsoring process. So they work with the sponsor almost on a strategic level to find out why we're sponsoring and what we hope to get out of it, what we have that's unique that we can contribute to their overall mission, and try to align all of that effort so that we're getting as much as we can out of it, they're getting as much as they can out of us. And when you have people like Ashish and Katie doing that day in, day out, focusing on making sure that sponsors are getting what they want out of their engagement with the program, it really is an experience unlike any other sponsorship I've ever been involved with.
Well, and you mentioned the word ethos, which I almost went and looked up in the dictionary, but I think from the contextual clues, you're talking about the way that they think and act, their culture. We've visited with several of their mentors over the last few months, and these people are just genuinely invested in helping these entrepreneurs out. And yes, good behavior like that does yield good business results. But these people, their motives are well above and beyond that. They're just such fantastic people. Everybody we've met from this organization, wouldn't you agree, Lee?
Yeah, it's it just seems like such a pure mission. And I think
it is.
You know, they were founded in Silicon Valley. You probably know that. And it seems like some of that entrepreneurial spirit and that startup mentality permeates deeply into the organization. And as they grow and they expand, it's really a gift for us to be involved with an organization that is that passionate about helping foster an entrepreneurial spirit in everybody. I mean, they have programs that are for high school kids.
I've actually been out to a couple of their programs for that. I took my 10-year-old one Saturday out to a high school, and we sat and watched the kids work on their business plan. There were five groups of kids, and the best part for me was my 10-year-old's reaction. He was completely engrossed in what they were doing. He had views on why one business wasn't any good and why one business he basically wanted to invest in if they would just tweak this or that. But he wanted to go back. We actually couldn't go back the following weekend to see how they'd progressed, but he really wanted to go back to see what they had done. And it's that type of engagement. I mean, he wouldn't have been engaged if these high school kids hadn't been engaged, and the high school kids wouldn't have been engaged if they didn't have, you know, great role models and people willing to commit their time. It's just like, I mean, I coach my kids in sports, and it's just like, you know, the dads and moms, you get out coaching their kids and other people's kids. If you don't have people committed, it doesn't flow through. And the Thai charter members are committed, and it flows through the entire organization.
So Baker Donaldson, too, let's talk about that ethos. Am I using this word right?
You're doing just fine.
That was great. You heard a word in use, and then you integrated it into
I'm going to be
earth.
Dropping it. We have a staff meeting later today. I'm going to be dropping that like left and right. But no, it's it strikes me as there are some law firms that may not give people like you and Clint and those guys quite as much room to go explore the emerging enterprise startup world. So your culture must be unique at Baker Donaldson.
This is absolutely a strategic objective of ours. We've got, you know, 15, 16, probably 17 or 18 by now offices across the Southeast. We're focused in the emerging company space very heavily in New Orleans, in Memphis, in Nashville, here, in Birmingham. And none of these, you know, I've been in Silicon Valley, I've been in Boston, and none of these places individually can rival what's going on there. But if you take all of those cities together and focus on the Southeast as a network, there's a lot going on in some really exciting industries right now. So we are trying to support that, not in each of those key markets, but across the network. So we've had pitch competitions. We did a pitch, hosted a pitch competition and a startup boot camp in May here in Atlanta. We had angel investors from four or five different states come to our office. We had companies from four or five different states come to our office to do the pitch. I can actually report, because I just found out last Friday, that one of the companies that we helped, that actually won the competition, they got funded. And when you talk about how this works for us, they've actually become a regular client now. And so it's one of those win-win-wins across the table. But for us, we're really trying to help support that startup environment across the Southeast to help people. And you know, we're here in Atlanta, too. So one of the things that we focus on is that we are a gateway to the rest of these cities for people in San Francisco or Boston or Chicago, whoever, wherever they are, who might not understand all the wonderful things that are going on in some of those other cities. They can come through Atlanta, come through us, and get a broader picture of what's going on across the Southeast.
But this is an investment on your firm's part.
And absolutely. That's,
I mean, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with other professional service people, and they're like, oh, we don't work with startups. There's no money in that. They don't have any money. And they purposely exclude them. They don't want to make that investment. And to me, it's critical to invest in that kind of community, because they're the future of the economy. The jobs are going to come from these emerging companies. They're not going to come from these big companies. The big companies are shedding employees. It's the smaller companies that are going to be the growth engine.
Absolutely. And there's some risk involved, and you need to understand the risk. You need to approach the companies like a portfolio as opposed to one individual client. But ultimately, you need to make sure, you know, we're still a business, so we need to make sure across our portfolio of clients we have the right balance. But once you establish that, I completely agree with everything you said, that these are investments not only in the communities that we're in, but also in our own future, growing our own pipeline of clients. But if you look at, you know, a city like Birmingham or a city like Memphis, three or four or five startups doing well in those cities are game changers for that city.
Exactly.
And here, it's the number is slightly larger, but when you start having 5-10 companies that get funding, move forward, start to grow, start investing in real estate and in people, it affects not only the experience that people have and the optimism they have here, but it actually starts to affect the bottom line in cities like this too.
Right, and your company, by investing in them, you can be the difference between them making it or not making it. You bring a bunch of best practices, connections, I mean, a whole wealth of not only just information and knowledge over the years with your firm, but also that you can say, you know what, you should meet this guy, or because your network's so good in the Southeast.
That's hugely valuable, just that piece of it alone, right?
No, absolutely, and that's what we try to do. We try to introduce people to suppliers, to providers, to experts in different areas. We hopefully, you know, we can give them exposure to angel networks or
right.
You know, venture capitalists that we know.
It could be the difference between getting funding and not, because they know that, look, Baker Donaldson kind of gave us the thumbs up. That could help sway a deal or not sway a deal.
Absolutely. So, you know, we consider it an investment. We consider it also good business for ourselves.
Right. And it's good for the community. I mean, again, it's that win-win-win all around.
Okay, I can't take it. I want to get Sid in on this conversation. I know, like, a lot of times we do, like, a segment over here, and then we go, let's forget
all
about
right,
that. Sid, come on in and talk to us. Sid Slover, Learn It Live. You've been on the show before.
Right.
I didn't realize at the time, or Lee probably forgot to ask, that you were involved with Tide, but you're involved with this organization as well, right?
Oh, yeah, we have been for the past few years.
Yeah.
So we sponsor them. We do a lot of, on the local level, we do a lot of events with them, working with them specifically on, you know, they'll live stream, have participants on their TyCon conferences that's hosted on our platform.
Why don't you share first what your platform is and how you guys help the community, and then we'll get into how you guys work with Ty. So explain Learn It Live, what you guys do.
So Learn It Live is a social learning network that connects. Basically, we provide a learning platform, branded learning platform for an organization, and then we supply access to experts who are putting on real-time live classes. So an example of this is partnership we signed with the American Heart Association that's launching next month. And so this is going to go out to basically there are experts from our network, health experts, are talking around, you know, different topics in stress management and, you know, how to things related to strokes, et cetera, exercise. And that they're going to be available, the live sessions available to a specific subset of the American Heart Association.
So what's the what is it you're bringing to the table? You have access to these experts, or you've got better bells and whistles that make it all happen more seamlessly?
So we have the education platform. That so you think of it as a mix between WebEx and Facebook. Maybe. So it's like integrated. You create classes.
Right.
Experts create classes. They're posted or well, you think of it maybe Facebook, WebEx and eBay combined. Right. So you go and you find, like, you would go to eBay and find a product. You go to Learn It Live and you would go to an organization, would go to, you know, their branded Learn It Live page and find a specific subset of classes of topics that are going to be available for a particular user, right? So then they go, register, purchase it in some cases. For the American Heart Association, it's going to be free, but in some cases they
If it was Mark,
charge.
You'd be paying a lot. You'd be paying some bucks, right? All right, so the tie-in with Ty.
Sure.
Yeah, what's
Ty probably likes the platform, right, for their
– Sure. So we've worked with – so we – on for Ty Global, they have their own Ty platform where they are running classes for a worldwide network. They've actually the finals of that program that you were just talking about, which was the Thai X thing for TYE for the youth.
Right.
They were creating
right.
business plans. So the finals were broadcast, you know, globally to all of their members, and they were able to get groups in, these kids presenting from India and from all over the place to participate in this particular event. And so we facilitate a lot of that for them.
So now when you're working with Ty, did you come up with this idea, or like how did it, or did you decide, like how do you guys work a sponsorship? How does it come about? Like you have a certain platform, uh-huh. they have a certain need. How does that get combined to be kind of, this is how we're going to work this sponsorship?
I mean, it revolves a lot around different events and conferences, specifically in their case, right? It's going to be, they have a in-person location, particular event. They want to get it out to a broader audience and allow a lot more people to attend. And so we work with a group.
But did they say, hey, we're going to do this. Who wants to sponsor this? Or did you guys say, we can do this, and then the sponsorship kind of evolved based on that specific need?
We sat down with Ty and spoke with them about the different possibilities and the different opportunities.
Right, so it was very collaborative. It wasn't
Absolutely.
Like,
it was
hey, we need a platinum sponsor for this thing. Who wants to sign up, right? It was you guys figured out a way to work together.
Absolutely.
But those guys, they have something going on every week, every yeah. month. I mean, there's just so much going on. You and I have had an opportunity to attend some stuff. One of the most valuable things that I got from that one meeting was just sitting around. We had a breakout session, and we sat at this round table, and there was experience at that table that I don't know if you could have written a $50,000 check to get that kind of consulting support.
Right.
And, I mean, just freely sharing information with us, it's I just got so much out of that one visit.
Right. It's very collaborative, and they encourage, you know, serving and giving back. That's an important component, and just it seems the way everybody works, members, sponsors, everybody.
Now, the two of you, have you known each other before coming in the studio today, you and Mark?
No, we've not met.
You see what we do?
There you go. You bring people together. It's like mini tie, right?
Right.
Bring people
right.
together.
So now, going forward, how do you go Mark, how do you see you guys working together? Is there new initiatives, anything new on the horizon, or just keep doing what you've been doing?
I think right now we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're still in our first sponsorship year. I think we want to get through their full year of programming, our full year of internal initiatives, see where they overlap a little bit better. But I think we are now, you know, institutionally, we understand the objectives. There's always that threshold where you need
you
to make sure the
learning
curve and make sure the personalities are understand each other and the
right.
people just know each other and can work together. So I think going into next calendar year, there will be more alignment on some of the programs that we do, get them more involved. We have an entrepreneurial event coming up later this month focused on women entrepreneurs. I'm moderating the panel for that. But we have worked with Ashish and Katie, and they are going to disseminate the information about that to their network. And it's that type of – we're doing that kind of real time. Didn't actually plan it through on the front end. But I think for next year, as we start to plan events, we will have thought through the marketing process before we choose
it. Right.
Exactly.
Now, what's been your favorite part?
Just the people. And to be honest, one of the best things they have charter member events in the evening, maybe 30, 40, 60 charter members will get together with spouses at one of the members' house, have a dinner. My wife and I, actually Clinton, his wife as well, went to the first one of those after our sponsorship was initiated, and we just got to get to know the people. You know,
right.
When you get to know individuals and spouses in a more relaxed personal environment, it helps lay the foundation for some of the collaboration that you were talking about before on the business side of things. So the people I've gotten to meet, I always look forward to seeing them and catching up. So that's really been the best part. And that's similar to the approach I tend to take when I do business development. I'm much more of a people person on that side of things.
So when is the next event at your house?
we'll see. We'll
but
see.
That's an important point, though. You are an attorney at law, but an attorney this day and age, particularly in the corporate arena, you have to be a business development person. You have to wear both hats.
Absolutely. Certainly, 6 years ago we had to, and then things have changed quite a bit over the last 5 years. And there's been a lot of shakeup in the way clients interact with their lawyers and retain their lawyers over the last 5 years. So if that weren't true 5 or 6 years ago, it's certainly true now.
Now, is it still novel for an organization like a Baker Donaldson, a prestigious law firm like that, to be so committed to the entrepreneurial environment? I mean, I gotta believe Joe Lawyer, at least 6 years ago, maybe not so anymore, couldn't just walk into the offices of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe and say, look, we're going to go after the emerging enterprise, the small business. Don't worry, it'll all pay off in the end.
I mean, trust me on this. Right.
Right. Right. I'm just going to need you to write me a few checks, right?
I mean, did you get a little bit of that, you and Clint, early on, or no?
Well, it's certainly firm-wide. It's not just Clint and me. We've got people in multiple offices.
Oh, come on. It's you and Clint. Come on. Let's be honest. That's the secret sauce.
But so, yes, absolutely. We've got pushback on that. And that's similar to what you'd get from an entrepreneur would get from a venture capitalist saying, show me the business plan. Show me how this is actually going to pay off in the medium and the long term. I understand it probably won't in the short term. So we got pushback. We got good feedback. We came up with alternative pricing models. We came up with some metrics that we wanted to make sure we would hit on sort of our return on that money that we were investing internally. But I think more and more firms, to sort of pull back on the law firm industry right now, more and more firms are understanding that they have to invest in their future through different initiatives. So they're focusing on particular industries, focusing on particular sectors, and they're taking more risks and making more investments in those particular places.
Well, it's almost like you have to grow your own clients to some degree. You have existing clients, mm-hmm. and you can move somebody that's from one firm to another firm, but this is an opportunity to grow your own and align everything, align the values, align the mission. Everything gets aligned. I think those are the clients you probably have for life.
Absolutely. If you could help start somebody off, give them a little, invest a little bit of your own time into what they're trying to achieve, give them good service and take care of them and try to be nice along the way as well. It's hard to lose a client like
right.
that.
Right, they're not leaving for somebody
right.
for $50 an hour less, right? They're there for the long haul because you were there at the beginning.
Absolutely.
We're going to start doing the same thing with our producers. Kevin, Warren, you guys are going to start growing your own clients. We're not just going to bring them in here for you.
Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to do that.
So, Sid, speaking of risk and entrepreneurialism and all that, now, were you part of putting this organization together? You were a hire at Learn It Live, which...
No, I'm a co-founder.
Okay, so you're a co-founder. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about some of the, as you look back, mm-hmm. what are some of the mistakes that you think entrepreneurs and these startups sometimes make And what are some do's and don'ts? Like, if you had it to do again, what are some things that you're like, man, whatever you do, just sure. Don't do this.
Well, I mean, it's a very the whole process is innately filled with mistakes because you don't know what, you know, you're doing something new.
They're learning so opportunities.
Exactly.
I mean, there's really, no mistakes. We never make a mistake.
So like every step along the way, it's just trying to figure out how to make each step work, right? You know, product development to client development to market fit, right?
How did you go from – do you start here in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Okay. How did you go – because on your card, it says Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
How did Dubai bubble up from Atlanta, Georgia?
Sure. Wow. So we had – it's an interesting story. So we had a – just have a good business partner that – a solid business partner that works in the Middle East, and he thought that there was an opportunity. There is a need for what it is we do, which is basically providing, you know, experts or trainers in the cloud,
right,
that can reach over. And so, you know, we did a tour of the region and were able to sign up some clients and are now working with some very large organizations on some broader population education initiatives.
But then do you have somebody in Dubai that's representing Learn It Live?
We do. And we have a team, an operations team in Amman, Jordan.
So now how do you... you know, decide, okay, I'm going to work with somebody, and how do you trust them because they're on the other side of the planet? Like, how do you build a relationship that has that level of trust that you're putting your Learn It Live brand on, you know, working with them?
Sure. So, well, I knew him from the U.S., so he's Egyptian. This particular individual is Egyptian, but, you know, grew up in the U.S. And so I knew him before particularly, and it's about choosing your partners carefully. I mean, is there just like any, you know, relationship, is there chemistry? You get along, right, and everything. Do you trust this person and see eye to eye on a lot of things? And it's really, you know, same thing with our operations team in Amman. I mean, you have to be able to trust people because whether they're halfway across the world or, you know, in the office now here, you mean they have to, once you turn your back on them, I mean, once you turn your back, you have to trust that they're going to continue doing what they need to be doing.
But isn't that one of the great things that an organization like Thai brings to the table is you're in a safe environment there with mentors, charter members that are genuinely invested in your success. And I think that's one of the advantages that I know you didn't have 7 years ago or weren't aware of.
Right.
And so you got me instead. Now you and I as part
broadened.
Of...
I should have broadened. I should have looked a little farther than Smyrna.
But, I mean... But I think some entrepreneurs they want counsel, but they don't know where to go. And
sure, and that's what Thai provides.
Thai,
I mean, really, they're
I
mean, you've said it a few times during this program, but that's really the value is the richness of the network that they bring, the mentors and the advisors, and people are genuinely. I mean, they're not getting anything out of it. They're genuinely interested at helping people, at helping entrepreneurs kind of. Get out there and solve some of these learning opportunities, challenges that they face.
So what's next for you? You got some kind of sexy new technology you're not really allowed to talk about, but you're going to unveil, or are you going to hammer a certain market, or what's on the horizon for you guys in the coming months at Learn It Live?
So we're really focused on the health education space and population health. Uh-huh. So this is the initiative with the American Heart Association, gets out to 18 million people. Other very large health, consumer health education initiatives. It's, you know, eventually we'll reach a broad population, and we are of course working on some cool interactive technology pieces that's really enhances the learning opportunities because it's
any, you know, hologram work. They're very popular at concerts now.
What is this
holograms?
No. Oh, where you can beam people in? Yeah, once there's right. Like the kind of, I mean, if there's like a consumer household hologram projector, you know that's yeah. That's going to be awesome. It'll get there at some point.
Well, who else to do it than you?
That's right. Really, Learn It Live. Like,
I'd like to be able to deploy a hologram of myself to go to meetings.
If I could maybe just, host shows.
Is it host shows? Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so if somebody wanted to learn more about Learn It Live, where should they go?
Go to learnitlive.com.
And they can find the education there. They can log in. Lots of good
stuff. Sure, you could see the information. From a consumer perspective, there's some public classes that are there that are available for people. And then for businesses that we work with directly to on different programs for employees and for customers, there's information there.
And Mark Baker Donaldson?
BakerDonaldson.com. Absolutely. You can learn a fair amount about all our lawyers and the industries that we focus on in our offices on our website.
And do you know the website for Ty?
I don't.
It's TIE-Atlanta.org, I'm pretty sure.
Nice. That's clutch play.
Thank you.
Nice, Sid.
Nicely done, Sid.
Or search Google for Tie, TIE Atlanta. If that doesn't take you somewhere,
right.
Search Google, Tie Atlanta, and it'll
you know, find we're going to have you record three different answers after the show, and then we'll just plug in
the right one.
We'll fix it in post. Well, what a great conversation, and I just can't say enough great stuff about Ty, but also you, gentlemen. I mean, you've invested your time, your energy, your resources. I know that it's paying off for you, as it should, when you're out there genuinely helping people. And as Sid can attest, Mark, you're welcome back anytime, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
And Sid, of course, you are as well.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.